to Entreri's right, Dahlia cried, softly now as exhaustion stole her volume. That sound alone truly hurt him. He could accept his own fate. He figured he'd find a way to die soon enough, and so be it. But for some reason he hadn't yet figured out, Dahlia's fate touched him profoundly and painfully. He wanted to go to her. He wanted to hug her and talk her through this newest violation. He wanted to get out of his cage, if for no better reason than to dispose of that blackened, misshapen skull, to get it out of Dahlia's sight, to bring her some relief, perhaps, from the agony. Many times did he reach out for the elf woman, his hand almost getting to touch her when she one time reached back. But clever were the drow, of course, experts in torturing and imparting hopelessness. Their fingers could almost touch. Her sobs whispered in his ear and echoed in his heart. Jarlaxle had done this, he believed. Berylip had mentioned Bregendierth. Jarlaxle had once again sacrificed Entreri for his own gain. But it made no sense to Entreri. Jarlaxle had rescued him from the curse of the Medusa in the Shadowfell. To what end, then? That and this? He cursed the drow mercenary under his breath anyway and glanced back at Dahlia. All that he wanted was to go to her and try to help. His feelings, so foreign, surprised him. Chapter 13. The Cold Night Fog.
I haven't even asked how you feel,
Caddybree said to Drizzt. They sat on some rocks at the edge of their encampment on a starlit night. The southern breeze warm for the season. About?
All of it,
the woman said.
The turn of events, the return of...
How could I be anything but thrilled? Drizzt asked, and he took his wife's hand.
But surely it is overwhelming. Have you even come to the point where any of this seems real?
Drizzt gave a helpless little laugh. Perhaps I am too busy basking in the joy of it all to care. I admit that there have been some fears. Didn't Wulfgar tell us tales of grand deception along these same lines during his captivity with Ertu?
Is it all just a dream, then?
Caddybree asked.
A grand deception?
No, Drizzt answered without hesitation. Or if it is, I don't care. He looked over at Caddybree, to see her leaning back from him, her expression curious. Perception is reality, Drizzt explained. My reality now is joyous, a welcome reprieve. He laughed again and leaned in to kiss the woman.
So it is real,
Caddybree agreed.
But is it truly joyous to you?
Do you doubt my love?
No, of course not. But how overwhelming this must be. For the rest of us, returning was a choice, and for me and Regis particularly. Our lives did not move on from that night in Mithril Hall, when Mialiki took us away to heal our broken minds. The movement of time for us has been insignificant compared to the century of life without us that you have known. And even through the last 2 decades, we walked in our new life with the single purpose of rejoining as the companions of the Hall. We knew what to expect. Indeed, we strove for exactly this. But for you, it is a surprise. A dramatic bend in a road.
The most welcomed surprise any person has ever known, no doubt, said Drizzt.
Are you sure?
He put his arm around her and pulled her back in close, side against side. I have spent a century missing all of you, but you most of all.
That pains me,
she said quietly. But Drizzt dismissed it with a determined shake of his head. No, he told her. No. Your memory was sustenance,
and surely no burden.
He gave a little chuckle and kissed her on the cheek to preface his next comment.
I tried to forget you. You make me feel so loved,
he teased.
Truly,
he said in all seriousness.
When I battled orcs beside Inovendil, when I thought you, all of you were dead, her counsel to me was straightforward. Live your life in the shorter spans of time of human lifetimes, she told me. To be an elf is to know and accept loss. And so I tried. And so, to this day, I failed. I tried to forget you. And yet I could not. You were there with me every day. I blocked you out and denied you. But alas,
he paused and kissed her again.
I have known another lover, but I have not known love again. Perhaps it was Mieliki, reaching into my heart and whispering to me that you would return to me. You don't believe that.
No, I don't, he admitted.
What then? Perhaps we two were just fortunate to truly find love, and a bond that outlived our mortal bodies. Fortunate? Or cursed? Caterbury asked with a wry grin. Were you not lonely?
No, Drizzt answered, again with surety and no hesitation.
I was lonely only when I denied you. I was lonely when I was with Dahlia, who I could not, could never love. I was never lonely when the ghost of Caterbury walked beside me, and the smiles I have known over the last century have ever been in connection with you.
He glanced back over his shoulder to look where Wulfgar, Regis, and Brunner were exchanging tales of their adventures of the last 2 decades. Drizzt's expression grew curious when Wulfgar set a bucket of water down in front of the halfling, who shoved his head into it. Or in connection with them, Drizzt added with a smirk. Caterbury squeezed his hand.